Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Road to Cheltenham. You're very welcome to this show where we're going to be reflecting on what's gone on in the past 7 days. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a very special guest in the studio. Robbie Power is in the house. Welcome.
Good evening, Lydia. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I suppose even now your Christmas plans are up in the air, aren't they?
Yeah, they are a little bit. I know I'm going to be in Kempton on Boxing Day for Lost in Translation, but other than that, it's a bit fluid at the moment. I don't know where we're going yet.
Well, fair enough. You give us a nice segue into the horse that we're going to talk about first, which is Lost in Translation. Of course, Robbie has ridden him for almost all of his starts, I think, all bar one, I reckon.
Yeah, once over hurdles, I didn't ride him. And last year in the Scilly Isles in Sandown, I was in Leprosy for Super Sunday and Dickie rode him. So, just been with him for most of his runs, thank God.
Let's talk about the Betfair Chase, because obviously Lost in Translation now heads towards the King George next week. Tell me your thoughts as we walk through this race.
Yeah, it went pretty much as I planned it to go. Obviously, Bristol, Demai and Frode and Belly Optic were going to be the pace angle to the race. And I was happy to sit off them a few lengths, let them settle away. We went a decent gallop without going crazy, you know. I thought, probably before the race, I thought Bristol, Demai might take us a bit stronger. But my lad has cruised through the race everywhere in his comfort zone, and I think one of his main attributes is jumping. He's so quick over his fences, and he got me there 4 out and 3 out with 2 good jumps, in a little bit tight to 2 out, and it just takes him a few strides when he gets in tight to get balanced again and get forward momentum. But again, at the last, himself and Bristol Demai have actually met on the exact same stride, but my horse is just that bit quicker through the air. He gets away from it. Bristol Demai is trying to try to jump the fence more carefully. My dad has flicked through the top and got away a bit quicker. He slugged it out very well, you know. He proved that stamina is not really an issue, and going forward, looking forward to the King George now.
Let's talk about going right-handed. Ruby and I were talking about that straight off, and neither of us thought that would be a particular issue, but we were just remembering that when Richard Johnson rode him in the Scilly Isles, he had said that the horse had lugged a little bit to his left. You've obviously ridden him at Carlisle recently.
Yeah, and I don't see it being an issue. He was very straightforward around Carlisle, and I'd say maybe an issue in Sandown, and it probably would be an issue in Kempton as well. I've always felt he's a much better horse on better ground, and if the Kempton was to turn unusually very, very soft on Boxing Day, it would be a concern. But
it doesn't tend to, does it, Kempton?
No,
that's the advantage of it.
It is, yeah. It's flat track, and like you can see he's jumping there, he's dead straight. I've no issues with him going right-handed. I think he's a very well-balanced horse. He's no real issues jumping-wise and all that, so no, I can't see going right-handed being an issue.
Tactics-wise, what are you expecting from the King George?
If they all turn up, I think it's going pretty straightforward. Surname, there's no question he's going to go forward. I don't think he's another way of racing. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be your pace angle to the race. It depends what else runs in the race as to what's going to take him on. If I heard Colin talk about supplementing Native River, if he was to take him on, then that'd be another angle to the race as well. But my lad's pretty straightforward. He's made the run and he's dropped in now, so tactical wise he's adaptable. So I'm not really concerned about that. Once if there was something to take surname on, I'd be even happier.
Absolutely, from your position you can sit back and watch that happen. Let's say you're in the happiest position of having won the King George, and so then everybody's talking Gold Cup. 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs.
Yeah, until you go 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs, you can't be certain with any horse will get it. I was always very confident with Sizing John that he would get the extra 2.5 furlongs. I thought stamina was always his forte, and I think this lad's a bit the same. I think until you try it and until you get to the back of the last in Cheltenham, you can't be 100% certain. But it was like when I got there with Sizing John, I was like, don't let me down now. But and he didn't, and I don't think this lad will either.
You mentioned Sizing John, and of course he became the first horse to win the Irish Gold Cup, the Cheltenham Gold Cup and the Punchestown Gold Cup in one season back in 2017. But he's had issues since the Savile Chase of 2017. Apologies.
Yeah.
So what's been going on with him, and how is he now?
He's good now. He's had a few little niggly little problems, but seems very good at the moment. I rode him work in Punchestown on John Durkin Day after racing that day, and he felt back to definitely 90% of his ability. You know, he felt real good that day, and I schooled him then later that week, and I schooled him over hurdles. He's going to have his first run over hurdles on New Year's Eve, so I schooled him over hurdles, and he felt that power behind the saddle that he's always had was back. You know, he felt really, really good schooling, so fingers crossed. And it is fingers crossed with him now, because it's been so long. that we can get him back on New Year's Eve and then progress from there.
He's going to be 10 years of age next year. Do you feel that he still retains his ability? Things move on, don't they? Things change.
Of course they do, but I don't think until you go to the race course you can be certain as to how much ability they retain. He's shown the right signs at home now, so I don't think we'll know until we go to Punchestown on New Year's Eve. Obviously, he'll only go there if he's given the right signs, and he is given the right signs at the moment. So, yeah, fingers crossed, we'll know a lot more on New Year's Eve.
And is Jessie Harrington's intention to get him towards the Gold Cup, or is really New Year's Eve going to tell her what she does next?
Yeah, obviously, New Year's Eve will decide where we go next. I'd imagine if things went well on New Year's Eve, he'd go to the Irish Gold Cup in Leprosin, and then that would decide his target. Jessie has mentioned on a few occasions she got bitten by the bug last year for the Grand National.
So really?
She has mentioned the Grand National, and I'd say he'd definitely have an entry for the Grand National if he comes. If the first half of his campaign goes well, he'll definitely have an entry in the Grand National.
Okay, exciting stuff. Fantastic.
It is, definitely, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to reflect on what happened at Cheltenham on Saturday, and we're going to compare the international hurdle, which was run by Call Me Lord, running for the first time for Nicky Henderson, left-handed, and with the juvenile as well, Botox Haz, who's trained by Gary Moore. That horse had chased home All Mankind previously and was winning in his own right, making all in the juvenile. We've got a split screen for you to show you how the race was run. And this demonstrates really that the juveniles had gone off at a stride quicker than the older, more experienced horses.
Yeah, they definitely had. Josh Moore on Botox has been going a gear quicker because his horse is having a good look, his ears are pricked, and he's able to force them forward compared to where Harry Cobden is riding a keen going horse in Elixir de Nuts and is trying to slow things down on a horse having his first run. So therefore, the race has been run. The juveniles have gone a gear quicker, and the older horses have gone slower. Pentland Hills, Chitabello, they're all under restraint because they don't want to go any quicker. All real stick jumping from all the juveniles as well, but especially the older horses, Pentland Hills and Elixir de Nuts. Their jumping was exciting to watch. I think the international hurdle, or the Beulah, has turned into more of a stamina test because they've stepped up the pace further out. When you go steady and start increasing the pace on a horse, if you quicken too soon on a speed horse, you'll turn into a stamina test. And when we get to the end of the race, you think all the horses that have stamina, Call My Lord, Ballyandy and
Monsieur
Lecoq, are all the ones coming home the best. So the speed horses have probably quickened it a bit too soon on slow ground, and that's why it's suited the stamina horses more.
You've cited a number of keen horses, Elixir de Nuts one of them, Pentland Hills the other, and they both check out quite a bit, one more so than the other.
Yeah, definitely. I think Elixir de Nuts hadn't run since he won the Tolworth Hurdle in Sandown, so you could forgive him getting very tired. And Pentland Hills as well, having his first start of the season. Call My Lord is a racehorse, is race fit, so he had that advantage as well. You can see the first and second horse, both Call My Lord and Ballyandy are the first ones off the bridle turn the bend, so they've been done for a bit of tow, and when they've met the rising ground, they've stayed on better than the speed horse. Pentland Hills pings the last and just, to me, landed and just took a big blow. For me, to the champion hurdle, he's the horse to take out the race, definitely.
And you'll see from this split screen the impact that having gone quite quickly has on the juveniles, whereas the international hurdle on the right-hand side, they come home really quickly, comparatively the two races, whereas Buttocks has, who's been having to make his own running and has been niggled along to do that and not travelled that well, he's then hit the crosswind in the closing stage and just had a bit of a wobble.
Had a bit of a wobble, but he stayed really, really well and jumped super compared to his first run. I thought he jumped really quick, really good, and juveniles can do that, you know. As much schooling as you do at home, when they go to the race course the first time, it's more daunting, hurdles out in open spaces. They just have a look around and don't jump as well as they have schooled. I've ridden a lot of juveniles that have done that, and then their second run, they jumped the way they jumped at home before their first.
We can also have a look at that previous run, which was when he was second to All Mankind, Buttocks Haz, and it was a runaway winner for the Skelton team on that occasion. But we've zoned in on Botox Haz hurdling and how much better it was than this second time around.
Yeah, definitely. And as I say, it's just a thing with juveniles. I don't know what it is. They're like sheep, and when they go to a race course, as much schooling as you can do with them, even horses that have had a run in schooling hurdles, they just, for some reason, lose their mind. They just don't jump as well. They lose their brain, and they always, if they improve from their first run, they're going to make nice hurdlers. the other ones then just lose their bottle and they don't become hurdlers at all. But luckily for the Moors, this lad has progressed the right way, and it was still a good run this way, this day, considering all the mistakes he'd made. I'd strongly fancy Botox has to reverse the form with All Mankind.
Would you?
I would, yeah, for his jumping. To see out the race this day as well as he did, for all the little niggly mistakes he made, I think he'd reverse form the next day.
The winner, All Mankind, is obviously quite headstrong. Dan Skelton memorably said afterwards he'd ball over in a one-man party.
Yeah.
But clearly he's got a lot of stamina as well.
He does, yeah. And he had a soft lead this day as well. He was, for a horse that was his keen going, he was left alone in front. Obviously a few juveniles having the first run didn't want to take him on. In a more competitive race later in the season against horses that have had a few runs, he's not going to get a softer lead. Mm.
And it was interesting, the play between the Skelton Yard and the Moore Yard, because obviously Skelton beat Moore in the All Mankind race, and then Botox has Moore beat Skelton. Langer Dan was in that race, so they've got quite a good line into each other where they are with each other.
They do, yeah. They both have a strong hand on where they're going to go with their juveniles for the rest of the season, and I'm sure Alan King might interfere with that later on the season, and Nicky Henderson.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some others, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at Goshen, who's the stable companion of Botox Has. Immediately after Botox Has race, Gary Moore was revising his initial view, and he said after Goshen won at Sandown that he was going to go to Cheltenham on trials day and find out whether Goshen can go left-handed and therefore go to the Triumph. Now he's thinking about the Chatteris Fen at Huntingdon for Goshen instead, and maybe going to the trials day with Botox Has. And for me, that means that it's much more likely that Goshen is going to run in the Triumph Hurdle, because they're not going to find out beforehand whether or not he likes going left-handed.
Why would you? There's only one Triumph Hurdle. If you have an inclination that your horse is better going right-handed, keep him going that way until you have to go left-handed. I was very impressed with this lad in Sandown. For a juvenile to do what he did on ground that was very, very tested in Sandown, my big concern with him, more so than going right or left-handed, is can he be as effective on good ground? Mm-hmm. Looking towards the festival, that'd be more my concern with him. He's galloped these juveniles silly on very, very testing ground. I wouldn't be overly concerned about his jumping over the last two flights. I think Jamie's just trying to get from A to B, and he's not going to ask any silly questions. He's got in tight there and hasn't jumped it too badly. And there is a small tendency for him to want to go a little bit right over his last two fences, but maybe that was Jamie as well, just trying to get from A to B without asking any questions. Mm-hmm. If he's had something racing him and he's had to kick him in the belly and go and jump them, would he have gone a bit right? I'm not so sure.
We're having a look at this division because it really caught light last weekend. Plenty of things happened. Let's rattle through some of the things that did take place over the weekend. Up at Doncaster on the Saturday, they had the Summit Juvenile Hurdle, and that produced a really interesting clash between Navajo Pass for Donald McCain, Brian Hughes on board, and Lord Lamington for Alan King. David Dickinson, who's the BHA's handicapper for that distance, very much hasn't missed it. On the left-hand side, Navajo Pass has now been rated 140. That might well push Donald McCain towards the Triumph Hurdle. Lord Lamington is 136 now, and that was him in an earlier race making a mistake and still overcoming it. Maybe Alan King will be thinking that he might go towards the Fred Winter with a mark like that. A couple of interesting juveniles. This race shouldn't be underestimated, particularly if you compare it with the other two-mile hurdles over on that same card. We also had Wolf Prince winning at Fairy House, didn't we, on the Saturday, and you saw this race.
Yeah, he was impressive. I don't think the strength and depth of this was very much. You know, it was a very, very ordinary juvenile hurdle, run on very, very testing conditions as well. And he's come there very easy. He's won very easy. He fluffs the last. I'd imagine Gavin Cromwell would be thinking that this lad will step into a graded race next and get beat and go on a Fred Winter. I'd thought he's more a Fred Winter horse now than a Triumph Hurdle horse. I don't think he's... That was a very ordinary maiden hurdle. I don't think he's up to the level of ability of a Fred Winter on the back of the, or of a Triumph Hurdle on the back of that run anyway.
But it does boost the Aspire Tower form, because he was back in third when they clashed previously.
He was, but again, Wolf Prince was having his first run that day, so I could overlook that. I'd never read too much into a juvenile's first run of a hurdle, as I've been saying, but his maiden win was impressive. But I think when he stepped into, I don't know whether Gavin will go to Leprosun at Christmas with him or wait till Nace in early January. There's a 4-year-old hurdle in Nace in early January, so it'll be interesting to see. But Aspire Tower that day as well was very, very impressive, because he very, very nearly got rid of Rachel Blackmore at the second hurdle. He went down, he ran all over the place. He's going to improve coming out of Henry de Bromhead's for the first run. He's definitely going to improve, and I think he's an exciting juvenile going towards Christmas. I'd imagine that's where he'll go next Christmas.
Yeah, he's got plenty of stamina as well. He was with Steve Gollings on the flat. Yeah. Let's have a look at the betting for the Triumph Hurdle, because there's a couple of interesting points that we want to make about horses that feature towards the top of the market. Goshen is currently the 8-1 favourite for it. We're going to talk about next about Cerberus, who's a 14-1 shot, but just keep an eye on Micromanage there at 12-1. And also Trushan at 16s, because we'll come back to them. But Cerberus, Robbie, you rode him when he beat his stable companion Receiving Weight for him, A Wave of the Sea at Fairy House.
Yeah, it was a good performance from Cerberus. A Wave of the Sea had beaten Cerberus in a maiden hurdle in Punchestown, mm-hmm. 2 runs before that. Cerberus had come out since and won his maiden. But I was able to dictate things from the front this day, and I think Cerberus is more of a speed horse than A Wave of the Sea. And looking towards a race like the Triumph Hurdle, I think the extra stamina, emphasis on stamina on that new horse in Cheltenham would definitely suit A Wave of the Sea more so than Cerberus. And also having only 2 hurdles in the last 7 furlongs, Cerberus is not that big, but he's a very, very good jumper.
He's really slick, isn't
he? He's very, very slick. For a juvenile only having had 3 runs now, he's really, really slick. I think at Leopardstown over Christmas, he could uphold the form. And he is a horse that's crying out for a lead in a race as well. If he can get something to give him a lead, he'll run better. He's got plenty of speed. But I think at Christmas he could uphold the form. But I think going towards the Triumph, A Wave of the Sea could overturn that form with the two of them.
Yeah, I can see that. And might you go with Cerberus? Might Joseph think about going to Aintree maybe or somewhere like that?
Yeah, Aintree Punchestown will be a possibility as well. So he definitely, them speed tracks would suit him more.
Okay. You remember Micromanage, he was towards the 4 of the market there. Well, Willie Mullins trains him. He ran 3 times on the flat. He was highly progressive. He hasn't yet made his hurdling debut, and I know he hasn't got any entries either. So it remains to be seen whether actually he will be able to get going in time. And then there was Trushan as well, who took the notable scalp of Hamish when they clashed at Newbury in October. But back then, Alan King said this.
Yeah, he schooled. He schooled a few weeks ago, and obviously after Newmarket, I thought we can't do that anymore. That's him finished. We'll put him away. Have a good flat season. He'll probably go jumping in years' time.
So I checked with Alan King, and Trushan is definitively still not being trained for the Triumph Hurdle. So this is the thing about the juvenile picture. It is so murky in these early stages, and we're just trying to pick our way through it.
A lot will change after Christmas and early into the new year. A lot of the time, the top juveniles before Christmas turn out to be mid-division Triumph Hurdle horses or Fred Winter horses. So I think Surprise Willie's horse is not available to run at Christmas. Mm-hmm. But a lot will be clear, the picture will be clear after Christmas.
Absolutely. So Trushan, that horse on the right there in the blue and yellow colours, who showed plenty of stamina to come and master Hamish, he's not going hurdling. Alan King was saying he's told plenty of people this, but he still lingers in the Triumph Hurdle betting, the JCB Triumph Hurdle betting. Ignore it. He's not running in the race. He's being trained for a flat campaign. Right. Let's move on. What have you been saying about what's been going on recently? We're going to start with Stuart McDonald and what his thoughts were. And he was talking about Andy Dufresne, who was beaten by a latest exhibition last time we saw him.
He was. Turned over at odds of 1-3, I think he was. Latest exhibition that had a good run before that, when second to Abacadabra over 2 miles, stepped up in trip and probably went off shade bigger than he should have. And Andy Dufresne probably shade shorter than he should have, because the latest exhibition had plenty of experience. Made a bad mistake early on down the back straight, latest exhibition. But the whole way through the race, Andy Dufresne travelled like the best horse in the race. But it looked like his latest exhibition outstayed him.
Yeah, I just thought Andy Dufresne looked like he wanted to lug to the left a little
bit. He did, yeah, the whole way up the straight he did. And maybe there's something will come to light.
Yeah.
They'll find a little issue with him. But take nothing away from the winner either. I thought it was a good performance from the winner. And I think going forward, I think the Albert Bartley, he could be a big player in it.
You mentioned the form with Abacadabras, and you've obviously ridden Abacadabras. This is what Philip Lecornu was saying as well, talking about that particular form and obviously the run between Abacadabras and Envoy Allen. What do you make of Abacadabras?
He's a horse with plenty of pace, and I think he's crying out. The Royal Bond was run at a steady pace. Davy Russell was on the odds-on favourite, Envoy Allen. He dictated every step of the way. I think Abacadabra, if he gets to Cheltenham in March in good form, he's a big player in the Supreme Novices. strongly run race. His jumping is getting better and better with every run. And I think strongly run two might as well he's crying out for.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Right, okay, let's have a look what Alistair Brooke had to say. He was talking about Elixir, and you were talking about him making his first run in the international since running in the Tolworth. He's still got that slick jumping, hasn't he?
Yeah, I agree with Alistair. His jumping was impressive to watch in the international. And the form of his Tolworth win isn't brilliant. It's not grade one form. And I think he still needs to improve plenty to be a champion hurdle contender.
Yes, Colin Sizzard, his trainer, was saying don't give up on him yet, but he seemed less convinced the longer he was talking, really.
Yeah, he did, but I think he will definitely improve, and a lot of Colin's horses this season have improved for the run, and he is entitled to because he's been off for so long. And I'd imagine he might go somewhere early January or Cheltenham on trials day, something like that, for a race, and that'll decide then whether he's champion hurdle contender or not.
Okay. Last bit of social media, Cliff Brown has been in touch, and he was talking about Pentland Hills, and he thought this was the horse to take out of the race. Were you at all worried? I mean, he ran in a really good race up until the final hurdle. Robbie, were you at all worried about how markedly he checked out from that point on?
No, I think if they'd have gone a shade quicker and he'd relaxed, he might have taken a blow sort of at the back of the second last, and Nico would have been able to fill him up and give him a chance. He might have come home a bit better. The fact with me, he's travelled in Nico's hands the whole way. He's absolutely pinged the last, which would 9 times out of 10 tell you there's plenty left in the tank. But I think the horse has just landed and gone. And it's at the real wrong time in Cheltenham. The back of the last is not the place to take your blow. So I'd forgive him. I think a strongly run race. I still wouldn't rush out to back him for the champion hurdle. But I think a strongly run race the next day, he'll settle a bit better. And again, his jumping is a joy to watch. He's very quick over his hurdles, and he'd be seen to a better light the next day, I'd imagine.
OK, thank you very much for those thoughts. Let's move on now to the horses that I'm putting up in for Antipodes Tips for the festival this week. Not to be outdone by Ruby Walsh adding one to his collection. I'm adding two this week, and I'm going to start with Chacun Pour Soir, and it is timely that you're in the studio, Robbie, because, of course, you rode him to his Grade 1 victory at Punchestown.
Yeah, he was very, very impressive this day for a horse that had just had the one run over fences in a very ordinary beginner's chase in Nace. His jumping the whole way down the back was a joy for a novice. Made a slight mistake, four out, and then at the second last, I probably asked him to come a bit further away than I should have, and he's been good, he's answered my questions. But the whole way down to the last, I've got so much horse underneath me, I'm saying I don't need to do what I did the second last. I've left him win and pop. But this is the most impressive part. When I've given him a slap, he's picked up and he's gone away again from
Defi Desai.
So it's a very, very good performance. You'd imagine he's only going to improve for that. For a horse to step into a Grade 1 on his second start against horses that have been running in Grade 1s all season, it was very, very impressive, and I got a great spin off on that day. I thought he's a very, very exciting horse.
He's running in the colours of Rich Ritchie, of course. So you could argue that you had the Arkell winner back in third, the Jailton winner back in second. Were they feeling the effects of Cheltenham when they encountered a much fresher horse?
You could, but you're only picking holes into what was a very good performance from a horse that had only had one run over fences.
I don't want to pick holes.
I honestly do think if anyone wants to back him for the champion chase, now's the time to back him, because if he turns up at Leopardstown and does what I think he's going to do, he'll be 6-4 for the champion chase.
Funny you should say that. That's exactly what I was thinking. Right, the other one that I'm going to put up is Mr. Fisher, who was a winner on Saturday at Cheltenham. I was comparing that race with the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup, and I was surprised to find, I had thought the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup had probably gone a shade too quick for the conditions, and therefore that they'd sort of recoiled in the closing stages. Not the case. Actually, these two races were pretty much conducted on par, but these two novices, Good Boy Bobby on the right, who was conceding weight to Mr. Fisher on the left, they've actually finished off the race really well. He definitely stays. He jumps. A bit sounder surface would suit him. My problem is Lorena.
Yeah, a big problem. And you didn't see it in that clip, but his jumping until the last two fences was exceptional. It was very, very good. And yeah, each way, definitely better ground is definitely going to suit him. So each way, he's a live outsider, yeah.
I
think he's a live outsider. That was a very good performance in what was a properly run novice chase. There was no dawdling sprint. It was running a decent gallop all the way. And even when he made the two mistakes, he didn't lose his bottle. He put his head down and galloped up the hill. So, not a bad shout.
Okay. doing quite well here, aren't I? 16 to 1 each way. The price might not move that much over Christmas, but let's see. And I just felt that 16 to 1 was, I think, a good price for a horse that is definitely going to run there. And the each way part, well, that was just being a bit chicken with Lorena potentially turning up there. Your eye catcher of the week ran rather more recently. Tell me about this one, Robbie.
Yeah, Yukon Lil. She won the mare's maiden hurdle in Nace on Monday. Bit disappointing. The two hurdles in the straight were bypassed for Low Line Sun, but she jumped the other four hurdles in the race very well. I don't see any problem with her jumping. She'd had a run in the school and hurdle before this. We went a good gallop. I made the run in this race, and we went a good gallop all the way. And she just came there on the bridle. She's quickened up, bypassing the second last, and won impressively. You know, she did decent level of bumper form. I think she's going to be better over hurdles. And the mare's novice hurdle in Cheltenham this year could be a very exciting race. You know, there's plenty of exciting mares in Ireland. Manella Melody, who I won on in Punchestown, she won a listed race there. She's a very, very nice mare. The mare that Willie won with in Tremor.
Dolcita,
that's it. She's going to go for the same path, I'd imagine, as Lorena went. Mm. So them two mares, the Willies and Manella Melody, already this early in the season, have a pretty strong look to the mare's novice hurdle.
We've softened Robbie up, I think, for some quick-fire either-or questions. So we're going to start straight away with Lost in Translation or Surname?
It's not a match. Lost in Translation.
Surname or Clan des Oboes, if you're Harry Cobden?
Tough decision. Last year's King George winner, but Surname's in great form. I think he'd probably write Surname.
Moving to the Savills Chase, Kenboy or Presenting Percy?
Good return from Presenting Percy in the Durkin, but I'd side with Kenboy.
Why?
I just think Leopardstown would suit him. He was very good around there last year. And if the ground is anyway on the better side of soft, will definitely suit Kenboy more than Presenting Percy.
In the scenario that Lorena takes Fakadidaris on, Faheen could take Sam Crow on at Limerick. So Faheen or Sam Crow?
Again, tough one. I'd probably shade with Faheen coming off the back of a win, Sam Crow coming off the back of a fall.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. What did you make of how Faheen's taken defences?
I thought he was very good in Punchestown. He made one mistake and I think he learned from it. For a horse that had been hurdling for so long, I thought he jumped surprisingly well and can only improve for it. And you're going to have very testing ground in Limerick as well, so I think all leads towards Faheen.
Okay. Back to the December hurdle at Leopardstown. Classical Dream or Course Sublime?
Course Sublime.
Ooh.
Again, he didn't beat a whole lot in Down Royal, but the manner in which he travelled throughout that race and the way he jumped, I've heard Ruby giving out about Altior's jump, and he doesn't jump like a 2 mile chaser. Neither does Classical Dream. Mm. He jumps very big. I don't think any of his form leads him to be a champion hurdler. Yeah, so far.
Classical Dream jumps like this, whereas Course Sublime flicks.
Course Sublime is real slick over his hurdles. And last year, Gordon Elliott thought all season that he was going to win the Triumph Hurdle. He outran his odds in the Triumph Hurdle. He was such a big horse. I didn't realise until I rode against him in Down Royal how big a horse he is. I'd say he's only filling his frame now, and he could be the dark one in the champion hurdle market.
I tend to agree with you. And finally, Manella Indo, you've mentioned him already, or Battle Over Doyen?
Yeah, Manella Indo ran respectable in Gorham Park, and as Henry de Bromhead has said, he'd probably be the only horse in history ever to not win a maiden hurdle or a beginner's chase. He won a grade one, two grade ones last season over hurdles, and he's going straight into a grade one next. Probably just shade with Battle Over Doyen. He has had that extra run, and he's had a run in what I thought rode a very good race in Punchestown, the 2 mile six grade two in Punchestown. I thought rode a good race, the Florida Pearl. So I'd maybe just shade a Battle Over Doyen.
Okay. So, Robbie, that's it. You're done. Thank you very much for your company. I hope you'll come back to Road to Cheltenham at some point in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me over. It's been fun.
Good. I'm glad you've enjoyed yourself. Unfortunately, there's going to be no Road to Cheltenham for the next 3 weeks. The next show won't be until the 9th of January. But if you're missing your Road to Cheltenham fix, we will be taking the road onto the road at Leopardstown on Sunday, the 29th of December. And we'll be showing some footage of that online also. So you will be able to catch up with us. I'm afraid there's no column in Christmas week. A girl has got to have a break. But to make it up to you, there's going to be two columns the following week in the New Year week. So make sure you keep in touch with the Road to Cheltenham. Thank you very much for watching this evening. Merry Christmas.